Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
Jaguars Monday starts right now.
From the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, proud of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist.
Senior in more ways than one.
Pete Prisco is here. Happy Monday, guys. Hey, good to see you.
The older I get, the older you get. I hate to tell you.
No, it's true. Very good.
Plenty to get to tonight. Our first show of the 2015 season.
Yes.
We'll talk Jaguars, of course. We'll talk about the elite status of Blake a little bit more, maybe.
Listen, and I love Blake, and I'm a big believer, but we vaulted him into the status.
That wasn't me. That was
tier
Brandon.
Two. He's a tier two quarterback.
No, can he be a tier two? Tier two. Can he be a tier two quarterback? That's the question.
But he also could be a tier eight.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, it's so early.
Enough tier eights around here.
You know what I mean, Pete? I'm a believer. I think he's going to be a very good player. I'm not ready to anoint him as Roethlisberger yet.
No.
And I think that's what I just heard.
You wouldn't anoint him.
Exactly what you just heard.
You wouldn't anoint him as Eli Manning yet.
No, he's young. He's in the second year of a brand new offense, and he's played one preseason game. I think it's an injustice to do it to the kid. Let him play. He had a very good first preseason game.
Hey, we live in a knee-jerk reactionary society. Come on, you know better than that.
I know. I'm just saying Frankie's knee-jerk was a little extreme.
Frank went a little over the top.
Right, it was like spasm. It's like,
tap the brakes a little bit. Plenty to get to, though. Well, we might even talk about another quarterback, one of your favorites, Pete, who had a big day this weekend.
Tim Tebow?
Maybe a little bit later. I don't know. A little bit later. We'll get to that. We'll get to that coming up.
That's like throwing a fish hook. I just bit already.
I got a question about that the Eagles, though, for you. We'll talk about that later when we go around the league.
We'll do that in the second hour coming up. Your calls as well, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll get to those coming up, Tony's favorite segment. But overall, the offense on Friday night, after that three and out, a couple of nice sustained drives, 13-play drive for the field goal, overthrew a ball in the end zone that could have been a touchdown. And then comes back with a 12-play drive on a fourth down and three, dives for the pylon for the touchdown. Can you ask for much more on an opening preseason game?
Pete, you were there, right?
No.
Or you watched on TV?
I was watching. I was actually at Mariota's first game, so I went back and I had it on my laptop.
We watched it, yeah.
And I rewatched it.
So, obviously, we were all there, and I watched the tape, the coach's tape today. Overall, I thought the offense was pretty good. In the biggest takeaway – and I'm not making any comments about Jed Fish because I actually like Jed. Jed was a friend of mine. But for the first, you got the sense that Ole has a plan of what he wants to do and who they're going to be, and they have an identity. And based on that and the moves that Dave made in the offseason, and I think one of the big, and what Gus did, bringing Doug Marrone in for the offensive line to bring a more veteran presence, they looked like they had a plan, even though there wasn't a game plan, of what they wanted to do. They want to be physical up front. They want to run the ball. They want protection first and then push the ball down the field. And I thought, listen, Blake had one bad ball, three drops. The Steelers never stopped them. The three and out was a Hearns drop on third and three that hit him.
He should have caught that.
Should have caught him. I mean, it was hit him right at the face mask level. Right. Got to catch it. So I thought – very pleased. I mean, there's some things that you want to clean up. There are things, guys who need to play better. But overall, very pleased and very positive. I was positive Friday night and more positive after I watched the tape.
The thing that I noticed just from watching the TV tape was, and for me, this is huge, the quarterback's head went around. He went from right to left, from left to right, from the center, moved the safety, held the safety, did everything that you want the quarterback to do. And that, to me, is a huge step forward for him. And then when he made the throws, his mechanics were good.
Looked good.
The ball came out. The ball was on time. He didn't wait for guys to clear wide open. He threw the ball to them when they were clearing. I mean, I don't know if you can see this on the regular tape on the 22, but on the TV tape, it looked like the play that Harbor dropped. He could have been greedy and gone to the guy behind Harbor. even though there was the guy over the top of him. But
Garber's right call.
I know. I see it. But
hitting more wide open.
Oh, I know. That's a great throw.
Perfect throw. Got to catch it. Might run into the end zone, into the corner.
He looked like, to me, like a big-time NFL quarterback that night. Now, it's only one game. Like Tony said, it's one game. But for that game, you want to see head going all over the place. And his did. There was no locking on. He was reading the field. He was comfortable. There was no panic. You know, so I think that is good. Now, there was some bit. Like, the left tackle. And we're going to get to that.
We'll get to that.
Because that's like your pet project
we'll
over there. We'll get to that.
We got 2 hours.
I got strong opinions about that.
I'll say this quickly.
I almost fought Dempsey on it.
I don't think he was that bad.
Dempsey almost fought me on it.
I don't think he was as bad as people thought he was in that game.
We'll talk about it. Because I got another comment about the overall quarterback and everything else. Quarterback, to Pete's point, how the ball came out. I think one of the reasons the ball has looked better and come out so much better from the start of OTAs through training camp up through now. Obviously, it's the work he did with the quarterback guru, Tom House. And I think sometimes those are a little bit overplayed, the guru status. But he did a lot of work. But maybe even more than that is the fact that I think for the first time, the way that Greg Olsen has built this offense and kind of staggered it in one block on top of the other, I think Blake has a real command of what he's trying to do and where guys are going to be and what's supposed to happen and what the progression is. And I don't care if you're playing football, you know, at the highest level or in the backyard or if you're whatever your job is, the more comfortable and confident you are in what you're doing, the more natural you are at that activity. And he looks much more natural back to me, to your point. He looks comfortable, like he knows what he's doing and where he's supposed to go and what everyone's trying to do. And because of that, the natural ability that Blake Bortles has can just come out. The ball comes out better. He looks better footwork. He looks more balanced because he knows what he's trying to do. And I think last year, I don't think he had a clue half the time where he was going and what the heck was going on. That's my opinion. I don't know if that's true, but from watching it, I think that's a big part.
I'm working on a story, big story on quarterbacks from first to second year and how important and different it is. And I asked Aaron Rodgers about it. He says, now, mind you, he didn't play his second year in the league, but I'm talking about the first and second year you're playing. He said, if you don't get it by your second year, you're not going to get it.
I don't know if he's the best one to go by because he sat for 4 years.
That's what Blake said when I asked him, when I told him that.
Yeah, it's like.
But no, it's different, though. It's first and second year playing.
Okay, I can name a lot of quarterbacks who disagree with you.
But most of the ones I've talked to have agreed with
that. I mean, pretty good, even though they weren't great their second year.
But it's not numbers, and just getting it.
Okay.
Getting it. But, because I've run it by a bunch of my Eli Manning, some others, sure, as I'm going through the process, and I mean, they all pretty
like
much.
Eli was not great his second year.
No, what? But they agree, though. That
why is that the cutoff? The second year, going into third.
Because
the first year,
Pete's
kind of
favorite player said so.
Aaron Rodgers is now my favorite player.
Well, it's a quarterback. It's one of your favorites. You have like four or five favorites: Peyton, Aaron, Brady, and Luck.
You see
those are your four favorites.
I just like watching great quarterback play. I'm not
Marino, Elway,
Marino,
Montana. Those are his guys.
Johnny U. keep going. Otto Graham.
Those are
keep going.
For players.
Otto Graham.
Because one of those guys said so, that's why.
Yeah.
No, it's just.
I know what you're saying. It's a big
but
jump.
You know what?
It's
I'll
the
say
biggest
this.
Jump.
Yeah, I'll say this, though. One of the problems over the course of time has been a lot of these first-year quarterbacks come in, and then they blow it up and start all over again. Not unlike what's happening here. New coordinator, new system, so you got to learn it all over again, and that's usually a problem.
Well, I give the staff a lot of credit.
Me too.
And I give Blake a lot of credit because so far, listen, it's so. And we're not going to drink the Frangie Kool-Aid that says he's, you know, tier two quarterback right now. Or this is, you know, the.
I don't think he said he was a tier two quarterback now. He thought he could get to that.
Know, the Air Coryell Chargers that we're going to watch or anything. But it's a great first step. I mean, and I give everyone involved credit. A lot of credit.
The one thing to me watching the offense that will stand out unless the other wide receiver gets on the field is they don't have anybody to take the top off.
No.
And that's going to show up when teams start game planning for you.
Not a lot of speed outside.
Right. And that's a good thing.
Alan Robinson looked faster.
But he's not a.
But Lee's the only one.
Lee's the only one who
that's
can
right. He needs to get
the
on
field.
The field.
Right.
He needs to get on the field.
So
That'll show up.
Who do you take off the field? You take Hearns off?
Play them all.
Well, you're going to be at 12 personnel, meaning one back, two tight ends. Yeah. I mean, and two receivers.
What? Use the one back, three receivers, and one tight end.
If you're looking at your best 11 players, the two tight ends are probably in that group.
Lee's got to be on the field because you have to be able to stretch the field vertically.
Well, he's got to be healthy first.
Right. Well, if he's healthy, is he on the field?
Right now, no.
Really? Mm-hmm. So then it's going to be one of those offenses where you squat on everything.
Well, I'm just saying right now he's not. I'm not saying he wouldn't. I mean, he's got to get on the field. We saw it last year.
Healthy.
No, we saw it last year, Pete. When he was healthy, he didn't get back on the field for 3 or 4 weeks.
If he's healthy at the top of his game, he should not be on the field?
Oh, heck yes.
Okay.
Healthy, top of game, physically and mentally, he's on the field.
He changes the offense.
My point is that's not like the day he says his hamstring's better.
No.
Don't expect that to be like, oh, okay.
But here. He does change the offense.
Yeah, he brings that element of speed.
Got to get him on the field.
If he goes deep, you can get those intermediate to the tight end.
Yeah, the tight end and Robinson and everybody else. It opens up. If you don't have a deep threat, you're going to have problems. I don't care who you are, how good you are, how good you run the football. Now, if you run the football effectively, yes, you can take –
Patriots would disagree with you.
Huh? They have Gronk.
They don't have a deep threat, though.
But they have Gronk, and they have Brady. I don't see Brady and Gronk on that field, do you?
You said it. I don't care who you are as an offense. If you don't have a deep threat, I'm like, well, Patriots won a Super Bowl without anyone who could run
Gronk is kind of a threat deep down
the
scene.
So is Julius Thomas.
Yeah.
No, he's not Gronk, but he's a threat in the middle of the field.
But he and Gronk and Blake and Tom Brady now.
I was just being.
I know you were
a jerk.
I know you were, and it went and you dug yourself into a hole.
No, because you weren't right.
Yeah, I am right.
There's no teams.
You know that. You know that's the case.
No, I don't.
If you had played in your heyday, if you had played with two Keenans, you wouldn't have been the same.
Okay,
offense.
He's getting hot.
If there were
getting upset.
If there were two Keenans on your team and not Keenan and Jimmy,
we'd have been good.
You wouldn't have been the same offense. Just say it.
My question to you this week: the two teams in the Super Bowl. Who were the guy that in those two on either team that took the lid off?
Well, you're talking about Tom Brady, arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks.
Super Bowl teams, right, JP?
The other one's an aberration. They have the defense.
Aberration.
It's an aberration.
Back-to-back aberration years.
It's an aberration.
1 year they won, and they should have won the second year if they just called the run.
It's an aberration.
So back-to-back aberrations.
Back-to-back aberrations. Most teams have to have a stretch
so
the field
we
guy.
Went from,
it's unbelievable.
We went from every – if you don't have a stretch the field guy – you can't win.
Well, if you have arguably one of the
– to the two teams in the Super Bowl.
You can win with – teams have won without a quarterback too, but everything had to go perfectly. Look at the Ravens. They won with Trent Dilfer. Look at the Bucs. They won with Brad Johnson. But you have to have the great defense. You have to be able to run the football.
Hey, Jags fans, we're giving you more this season.
We're just getting started.
Oh, yeah. We got
so wrong
2 hours of this. The Jags have teamed up with an MNIC family of dealerships and will be giving away a 2015 Buick Encore. For more information and to enter, visit jaguars.com/encore. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
The Jaguars Back to Football Kickoff Luncheon is back Tuesday, September 1st at Everbank Field. Join Jags owner Shad Khan, President Mark Lamping, GM Dave Caldwell, Head Coach Gus Bradley, and Jags players and celebrate the partnership with the business community with the Jags. Reserve your premium table and tickets today at jaguars.com/BTF Luncheon. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday continues also tonight. The premiere of Jaguars All Access Television on Channel 4.
Oh,
that's
very
at
good.
7 o'clock tonight.
Like that.
Loggy and Sammy.
Sam, not tonight. Brian Sexton filling in tonight.
Sam
will be back next week, but Mark Lamping is the guest tonight.
Very good. So what they need to do, listen to us until DVR them, and then when you're done listening to us at 8, you can go watch Jeff and Brian and Mark Lamping.
There you have it.
Yeah.
That's 7 o'clock on Channel 4. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll get to some calls coming up. We'll talk offensive line coming up as well. I know it's a hot topic around here these days. Let's go defense, though.
Let's overview. We're going to go overview and then specific positions.
Okay, overview of the defense. We're some injuries up front right now. Clemens was back in the field today.
Yeah.
Odrick and Miller expected back. They'll play on Saturday.
They practiced a little bit today, didn't they?
Yes. So they're going to get some snaps Saturday, it sounds like. So you have some of your starting defensive line back in there now.
So here's my overall thought.
Okay.
Let's see if we agree.
They were playing against probably the first, second, or third best offense in the NFL coming up this year.
Good offense.
They are going to be good. Gosh, they're good. With Bryant. Antonio Brown, Martavius Bryant, the other cat. What's the other cat's name? Wheaton.
Wheaton. Miller.
Miller.
Bell.
Bell. Roethlisberger.
The line is pretty solid.
The line's gotten much better.
Beecham's a good player at left tackle.
Beecham is.
He's a good player.
He is the. Looks like he should be playing guard, and he's a very good tackle.
Yeah.
So they're going to be really good. With that said, I know our whole starting defensive line was out. But I didn't think we got off blocks really well. We had no pass rush, and I worry about where the pass rush is going to come from. But I'll say this about the Steelers. I worry about the Steelers. They have no pass rush either, and I don't know where the pass rush is going to come from them this year either because they can't rush the passer. When it was, you know, that first unit or their first unit, which was probably a quarter and a half, that starting offensive line outside of Pouncey, who went out early. We didn't get anywhere near the quarterback. We didn't get off blocks really well, I didn't think.
Yeah, that's the – it's a glaring
– And that was
– Pass rush. Stood out like a sore thumb.
But I don't think we got off the ball on the run really well either.
But more than that, though, it did breathe on him a little bit. I mean –
We weren't getting close. We weren't threatening the quarterback. Forget the sacks. We weren't threatening the quarterback.
I thought Cyprian missed the tackle in the hole on Bell's run.
You think?
He missed the
tackle. What part of, like, he did miss the tackle?
He missed the tackle in the hole.
Well, that's a perfect example. I mean, so they had eight in the box, perfect defense. Sip is sitting there to tackle Bell for a zero.
Yeah, it would have been a couple yards.
No, he's at the line of scrimmage. Maybe a yard.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sitting there at the line of scrimmage.
Would have fallen forward, yes. Right.
Yeah. Okay, a yard. Yard and a half.
Tackle.
And he misses. I mean, whiffs. Doesn't touch him. Wouldn't have got him in flag. Flag football, he's running.
Right.
And gets like, what, 15? Yeah. 10, 15? So that was frustrating. But just the overall, you know, I thought the back half was okay.
Was it a push on House?
No,
Bryant?
It was within 5 yards. He got straight armed.
Bryant didn't push off on him?
Pete, the contact was in 5 yards, and House fell down.
I thought it was outside of the five. No? They called it on House anyways.
Yeah, because he started grasping for, I mean – I thought
he was falling down.
Yeah, he was falling. I thought something. I thought it was within five. Now listen, that's okay. It happened.
Right.
That's gonna happen. Everyone's like, "Oh, House got beat." Okay. And this defense, if you're gonna play Gus Bradley's defense, you're gonna get beat.
Plus, he slipped.
No, he didn't. He got knocked down, I think.
But
whatever. My point is, you're gonna get beat.
Right.
If you're on an island for 16 games, you're gonna give up a big play or two. That didn't bother me because House came back later. Running stride for stride with Hayward Bay, who can fly.
Right.
And made a great play.
And Colvin made a good play.
Made a great play, Martavius Bryant got away with the push off.
Yeah.
So I think the back half will be fine. I think our linebackers will be fine too. Puzz is Puzz. I still love the Scuda. I think they need to rush Scuda more on third down. I think he would give them more of a pass rush. I would try to get him with his hand on the ground on third down. And
which they've been doing that in practice.
Yeah, so they need more of it in the game. Telvin Smith missed one tackle on a screen. He came up and
– Yes, he did.
But
the DB had to come over and make the play.
But overall, I thought – I mean, Telvin's going to be good. I worry about – and I think we'll be good against the run when it's all said and done with Roy in there and Odrick. So – but I don't know where the pass rush comes from, Pete. I don't. With no Senderek Marks.
Clemens better be Clemens from 3 years ago.
Fountain of youth.
Right. And people wonder – Ryan Davis, he didn't do anything the other night. Nothing.
Chris Smith, Andre Branch. Chris Smith got some rushes late against guys who might be accountants.
Right, or bartenders or bouncers.
I like to say accountants. Maybe it's, you know, offensive
the big linemen. They'll be
smart.
Bouncers.
Offensive linemen are smart.
They'll be bouncers.
They're smart guys. So, but, yeah, it was concerning.
So, everybody, 66 is getting all the love.
66.
The pass rusher.
Cap Cappy.
Oh, Cap Cappy.
Come on. Your boy.
He had a sack.
Okay.
Yeah,
then
two.
That's right, two. Then he didn't get near him on about eight other rushes.
He won the game for him, Pete.
It's hard to evaluate.
Listen, if Cap Cabby can do that in the first half of the Giants game, then sign him up.
Has he done anything on the practice field? Anybody?
Not anything that stood out to me, to be honest with you.
I mean, they need a pass rusher at the worst. Dante Fowler not being here is
hurts
big time. Big time.
I got an idea for a pass rusher. We'll talk about it later. I got an idea.
You just said Skoda.
No, I got a different idea.
Well, what is it? Let's hear it now.
It's Dwight Freeney.
It's a much bigger issue that Pete and I are going to have to debate later in the show.
All right.
Oh, wow. This is a tease. This is what this is in the business.
It is.
Oh, this is a tease.
This will be the one thing I think Pete and I will agree on this tonight. We will agree 100%, I think.
All right.
Wow.
We'll see. I think Pete will be shocked that I'm thinking this way.
All right.
How about that?
Let's go on. Do we want to take the calls now?
No, we'll get to some coming up.
Are we going to get to that offensive line eventually?
We'll go to it when we come back. Yeah, we got plenty of time.
Because Tony's break. You know what? Because Tony, and I hear this from a lot of people when I'm around town and stuff, and people see me.
What do you see here?
Baselli has a soft spot for the offensive line. Oh, he doesn't want to criticize anybody. So they leave it up to me to do it.
Okay.
You know, so you do. It's true.
Okay, that's not accurate.
That is
100% accurate. The accurate part is I do have a soft spot. Those are my guys. I'm going to try to stand up. I'm going to try to paint the picture in an accurate manner where I don't think most people in the media or fans understand the nuances of what they're doing, how they do it, and what they're asked to do. I'm not saying – I said most media. Would you not agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with you.
And most fans don't. And
I'm not being a soft spot for him.
I'm not being critical.
No doubt. I mean, come on.
Kind of like your belly, JP.
I've lost some of that, okay? Don't give me
or my
that.
Belly. Or yours.
Yeah,
don't or yours.
Look who's 325.
Talking. No. The problem is I'm 6'7". No, I'm not that big.
Pointing to the picture on the wall.
You want to do a weigh-in?
I think I can put the helmet
on. We need to do a Jags Monday.
I can put the helmet on you right now, and you could go out there, and somebody would say, hey, that's Tony Baselli, the same guy.
No.
We need to do a weigh-in first show. That's what we need to do.
No, we're not doing that.
Yeah, let's see,
come on.
Let's see who loses or gains the most weight over the season.
No.
Because you're fat right now.
No, you're fat too.
Not as fat as you.
Yes, you are.
You're 5'3 fat. I'm 6'7 fat.
I'm 5'6 fat. You're 6'7 fat.
You're shrinking.
Your face still fits in that helmet.
No.
Yeah.
You know what? I will say this before we go to break.
Yes.
I saw an old picture of the first draft class, and I was looking through it.
Oh, gosh.
I'm like, who's the fat face guy?
I was fat face.
Your face was gigantic. What were you taking?
Nothing.
Oh, my God.
Nothing.
Tony.
I give you my word. Nothing.
Nothing. There was no injectables.
Nothing.
Just Coughlin creatine. By
that
time, it was USC creatine.
No, but if you look at like the first 3 or 4 years, it's like baby fat face.
I don't know what it was, but it's like almost like you were bloated or something that day.
Like, I even look at pictures now compared to like when I played.
Yeah, your face isn't that big now.
Well, because it's squeezed into a helmet. It's hard to tell. We have to go look at other pictures. But I noticed that too. I think I've gotten, I've lost weight in my face and gained it everywhere else. And I had the weight in my face. So my theory is, like, I used to have muscle everywhere and, like, the fat in my face, and now I don't have, like,
it's called
face.
It's called old age. It just starts moving. It moves.
Yeah, the fat. I've gone south.
It's like the hair. That goes, too.
Oh, yes, it
no,
does.
No, my hair is none.
I see
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I will not lose.
You know what that is? I think the Kyle Korver brow holds the hair in.
It, like, attaches it.
Perfect.
Attaches it. Yeah, my hair is not going anywhere.
No. I thought that too once.
Me too, actually. Yeah.
When? In sixth grade?
Yeah.
Well, you remember me when I covered the team. I used to have hair.
Yeah, you
actually.
Did?
Yeah.
Kiss Game Day.
He's never had hair.
No. Started about 23, and it hasn't slowed down since. Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. There's 5 convenient locations for park and ride to choose from for Jags games. Tickets start at $7. For more information, visit jtafla.com. When we return, offensive line talk, the topic of the week. Prisco and Baselli will get into it. Your phone calls coming up as well. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday. First show of the year. Good to see you guys again.
Already fired up, aren't we?
What have you been doing? You've been traveling.
Traveling too much.
All over
too
the place. Camps.
I saw Tom the other day. It was like old times. He did his little thing over here, and then I was standing there waiting for him, and he came off, and I go, it's just like old times. I'm waiting to get all the good stuff. Except back in the old day, he'd just yell at me.
What do you have to say? Are they going to be any good? Defensively, they're not going to be very good.
You know, about the New York told Giants, him this, and you'll agree with me. Yes. His best coaching is done when he's not supposed to be good.
But I think he'll be pretty good offensively.
Yeah. Eli's got a better feel for that offense now with Cruz coming back, and then you get
Beckham. Oh,
the line's a little
better. They got a guy.
The Flowers is going to be – he says, hey, Golfman. He goes, yeah, just got to go with him. What are you going to do? I said, he ain't Tony, though. I don't think you're going to go in there and play him right away like that. And so defensively –
from Miami? Flowers from Miami.
Yeah, he's a good player. But defensively, they got – you know, what happens with JPP?
He ain't – come on. He ain't even in camp yet.
Why can't he play without one finger?
Well, the broken finger's got to heal first, the thumb.
Right.
Which is, what, six – I mean, I heard that's more serious than anything.
Yeah. Cast it up. Go play.
Well, where did it get cut off at? All the way down?
Yeah.
The whole finger's gone.
I mean, it has to be
– wow. Supposedly. I don't know for a fact. Look at the medical records. They were tweeted out once.
That's your guy.
I wouldn't have done that.
No?
No.
But it was not really a medical record, right? It was just a scheduling thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or same difference, right?
Personal information.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Jaguars' offensive line. We'll start in the middle. We'll move our way outside.
Okay, let's do it.
How about Wisniewski v. Buenco?
I thought Buenco played better.
Me too.
Buenco's more athletic. And the big question was Buenco handling a head-up nose and pass and being firm in the pocket, and I thought he did a good job for the most part.
I thought he was better.
He had one. He got on the edge late, but the ball was already well gone. So I thought Buenco played well. He was good in the run game, good pass. He's so athletic. I think he's just more athletic than Wisniewski. Not that Wiz played bad. Wiz is, you know, a stout guy in the middle. He's physical. I just think the athletic ability of
Buenco. Too early to call?
I mean, right now, Buenco's in the lead, but I think, to be fair, you got to give Wiz his chance to start with that first unit. Because sometimes when you play at the first unit, you're better because you got veteran guys and you can feel more comfortable.
That'll happen this week, yeah, a little early. But
yeah,
yes.
I think he should start.
You'll know the answer to this question better than me, but there was a zone run to the left.
Okay.
Buenco goes out. He gets out on the linebacker, and Linder tries to come down and block down on the guy, and he's got a real brutal block on him, and the guy gets penetration. Do you remember the play? Should Buenco not?
It all depends. So there was a play that I think I know what you're talking about, and they got stuffed for no gain.
It ended up going to the left. But
and they got really no gain.
But
right?
The guy got penetration right up, kind of.
Well, because everyone's reaching uphill. And so they called the front that they're going against was the defense won, basically. And so they called the Mike linebacker, the middle linebacker, front side, so everyone's reaching uphill. So the center's got to try to get there, and it makes it a real hard block.
It was a tough block for Linder.
Yeah,
I mean, because the guy was
way – yeah, it's tough. Yeah,
tough block.
Sometimes, listen, the defense wins out formation you or whatever, out leverage you. And I think if I know the one you're talking about, I think that's what happened.
Let's move to left guard.
Left guard.
Got pushed back.
Yeah, listen, it's I thought he was better than last year. My criticism of Zane is just, being more physical, not out of a toughness standpoint, just more physical with his hands. He gets his hands outside, so it's hard for him to get good leverage. And when he plays with his hands inside, he's pretty dang good. I thought he was better in pass. I thought he was firmer in pass. He had some great one-on-one pass rush. I give him credit in his hand. And a lot of it was because of his hand position. So he played better than he was last year. And if that keeps on getting better, they're going to be solved there.
One thing you notice when you watch them, and this is just from the TV tape, so I haven't watched the 22 tape, but watch the other linemen. When body contact gets into Beatles, he's going up. They're getting underneath.
He plays a little higher.
Yeah. And he's got
high shoulder pads.
That's a problem.
So. Was it like that in Denver?
Yeah.
Well,
they were a different offense.
Denver's such a lateral.
Pass tap offense.
Horizontal.
You know? Yeah. So,
type of
offense. That, and I don't know. I watch Can in the second. He was just okay.
Young. Looked young.
Looked just
looked
okay.
Looked like, oh gosh, this is my first game.
Right.
That's trying to figure out. So I'm not going to make any judgment on AJ at this point, Can, because, it's so early. He was out of sorts a couple times. Sometimes he looked good and looked powerful, but he was just out of sorts at times.
We'll start with the right tackle, Parnell.
Great.
Big Fantastic. Man on the right
Played
side.
Very well. Powerful. Held the point. Moved people off the line of scrimmage. Good at pass protection. Good punch. I thought he played well.
I'm gonna give you something right now.
Linder was great. Just keep going with right guard. That side's gonna be very good.
I want to give you just for your our usual Monday that we do this every week, Pro Football Focus rated Yoko ahead of Parnell.
What?
Rated Joko ahead of Parnell.
A higher grade than Parnell.
Okay, repeat this for the people who did not listen.
Pro Football Focus had a higher grade.
Tell everyone Pro Football Focus.
Pro Football Focus is Chris Collinsworth and the Brits and all these guys. They work hard at it. They do great job with numbers and formations and everything. But when you put a grade on an offensive lineman, as you know, it's hard to do. You don't know who's sliding, who's moving, who's responsible. Parnell had a lower grade in this game. Now, he was dinged for penalties a couple times too, but lower grade than Joe.
He had one offsides.
I thought he had two.
I thought he had one.
But
anyways, doesn't matter. And then, but
Pete, you know, I knew you'd get a kick out of it. Well, that's why I had to bring it
you
up.
You know how I feel about it, because they watch a TV copy. They have no idea what's going on.
Well, even the 22 copy,
okay,
you
but
don't
they
know.
Still don't know.
Right.
So, all right. Now you want to get to the position everyone's.
I'll tell you what. How about a cliffhanger? We'll take a timeout.
And we'll come back with
and Joe. Come back with the left
that's
tackle.
That's what everyone wants to talk about.
That's right. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Left tackle talk. When we come back, it's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
From the HennanyAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Monday rolls along. Get more in 2015, become a Jag season ticket member, and enjoy exclusive benefits 365 days a year. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000 and speak to a representative, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco.
The
top
chalet, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
What about the chalet?
What chalet?
You guys showed it on TV that they have out there now. Or whatever.
The ones in the terrace suites. Now there
you
are
see
two
those big
different
giant cushioned seats. And drink and eat and everything else.
That's right.
I like my favorite is the terrace suite personally.
There you have it. There's
but this,
if I was not doing the games, I would be sitting in the terrace suite.
Yeah, but this is like your own private little terrace.
I'm just
suite.
Telling you where I'd be sitting.
So you can
I'm
wall,
not arguing.
You can wall off people.
No,
it's always a good
that's
thing.
That's right. You could be by yourself in your own chalet.
Yeah.
Okay, I would sit in the terrace.
And just look at your name on the wall, like the whole game.
I can't remember the last time I went to a game as a fan.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
I went to the Sugar Bowl last year as a fan.
I went to Arizona
Watched
State.
Watched Alabama get beat.
Thanks
great.
A lot.
I'm going to the
that's
National
great.
Championship game this year when Arizona State plays in it.
You want to put money on that?
What, basketball?
Football.
Oh. Baseball?
Football.
I'll bet you any amount of money. You guys are
got USC week four at home.
Want to put money on that?
Yeah, we will.
Okay, good.
Left tackle.
Not money.
How'd
that work out last year, by the way?
Matchsticks.
How'd that work out last year?
We don't gamble. No gamble. NFL gambling.
Remember the end of the game last year?
Yeah, what do we?
You owed me still.
Yeah, what do I owe you for that?
I don't know.
How about dinner or something?
Something. Then you welched.
I didn't welch.
No, we haven't been around.
Tonight.
We don't, both of us will go to dinner. Nobody want to eat the bread. Are we? Fight over
it. We have to go to a place that has no bread.
No bread.
Left tackle is the topic of the week.
There we go.
Luke Jokel. Gave up the sack to Harrison, fell down another time, but...
What do you mean fell down another time? Where'd he fall down?
I don't know, but... okay.
Well, you just said he fell down.
I might have made that up. So, the rest
of
the game...
You're like the fans.
Exactly, that's the thing. He played better, though, the rest of the night. What's your overall thoughts on Jokel on Friday?
I think he's improving. I think he had two plays that I'd say weren't very good. One was the sack. One was actually the touchdown where Blake scored. I thought he got off balance a little bit, and guy got on the edge. Blake improvised and ended up scoring, so it didn't matter. Listen, on the sack, he did the thing that I think Luke is fighting a little bit. And it's when he thinks he's going to get powered, he stops his feet and leans. I mean, he saw James Harrison out there who's unnaturally big. I mean, where does he find those arms?
Have you ever watched him work out?
No.
There's videos of him working out. He's a madman. He's just a madman.
He is huge.
Oh, he's a madman. He's like a square. He's like a fireball.
Yeah, he's like a fire. So
he thought he was going to get over. He thought he was going to run, bull rushed him.
And so he leans and stops his feet, and James Harrison got an edge. The ironic thing that I tell, we've talked about this, talked to the offensive line coaches about it, talked to the offensive linemen about it, and everyone would tell you, and it's just a mental thing right now for him, you're more powerful when you put your head up, chest up, and your butt underneath you to stop the ball than when you lean. And if you do that, you can't get beat on the edge because you can recover and move your feet, and it's a more natural, better position to pass block. Right now, mentally, it's a mental thing. It's not a physical thing with Luke Jokel. I think mentally he is at times, not always, he's better, he's getting better at it, he gets worried about getting bowled and leans and reaches, and it's, you're done at that point. You can't stop. The funny thing is, you can't stop the bull doing that either.
Well, on the play, the touchdown run,
Scott bounce.
He had the guy and then kind of leaned again, kind of inside, and the guy spun
he's
off.
He's got to get out of the habit of leaning.
But it looked like it. The way they blocked that, Tony, and you might know it better than me, but it looked like that was supposed to come out quicker, the ball.
There was a couple. Like, I think, yeah.
They were covered, but it looked like it was supposed to come out quicker.
Right, yeah.
When you're that way, you punch, right? You get a good punch in and hope the ball.
Yeah, but even if you're going to punch, Pete, you can't lean and punch. You have to keep your – the best way I can explain it is you want your shoulders over your hips and your feet under your hips.
Right.
So you want everything in a line, chest up, head up. And as I coach young guys, the high school kids, listen, you want your head up, your butt down. If your head goes down, your butt's going to go up and you're going to get beat. And when you're leaning, where's your head, JP?
Down.
Down. Yeah, what's down. Up? Your butt.
That's right.
So you can't lean. You got to keep your head up, chest up, butt down. You'll be fine.
I spent time with LeCharles Bentley out, and he does the O-Line Academy out in Arizona this year. And one of the things – no, it's actually a good.
Okay.
Hey. Was that an eye roll?
I didn't say anything.
But one of his things is he believes that linemen should allow depth a little bit so that – because the pass rusher wants to get on you.
Okay.
And the longer it takes for him to get – you disagree with that. You're shaking your head.
What position did he play?
Center.
Okay.
It's okay. He was a damn good center.
No, he's a very good center. So he got the.
He was a guard too for a while. He went to the Pro Bowl as a guard.
Ended up getting the staph infection.
Yeah,
and ruined his career.
Yeah, almost
great
killed
point.
Him.
I disagree. I mean, Howard Mudd was a pretty good offensive line coach. He would argue and wear you out, saying you eat up ground and get on them and you jump set everybody. He would tell you that. And has won Super Bowls and coached a lot of good players.
What about popping up like they?
I would say this: if you do any one set, a good pass rusher is going to beat you. There's times to jump guys. There's times to get deep. There's times to set on an angle. The most important thing in pass blocking, whether you're going to jump somebody, when you're going to set deep at an angle, is your body position. Pass blocking is very simple to me. It's about having if you can move your feet and have balance, you can pass block.
And good hands, too.
Well,
right?
It's bad. But listen, hands and strength and power, you have to – I mean, yes, it's all important. But I'll go back to is if you have good balance and good body position with your hips underneath you and your chest up and you get your hands on them, you can recover.
I mean, is why guys like you play basketball. Parnell played basketball. You usually are pretty good.
You got to be able to move with your chest up.
Right.
And so –
that's all
basketball. I don't know what LeCharles Bentley's teaching these guys out there. I'm sure it's great, and I have no problem. God bless him. He's making a living. I mean, I'm happy for him. But I would disagree with saying everyone needs to get back.
I'm not saying – he said – I'll let him explain to you.
No, and maybe he probably would say –
what about
my whole point is
– what about the pop-up? You know, the team's always teaching them.
What do you mean pop-up?
You know, when they come out of the stance, it's raised up, you know?
I don't know. I've never seen that. I've never taught that.
No.
My point is you have to snap out of your – you set with your feet, chest up, get your hands up, ready to – I mean, I was always a natural – I like to have my hands in a natural position, not up and worrying about it and all that. But it's body position. And right now, Luke's body position, when he gets beat, isn't very good. He leans.
He's a lunger. He's a lean.
Because he's worried about his shoulders go up, his chest goes down, his head goes down, his butt goes up, and it's
– But
tough.
I'll say this.
He's
not alone. I mean, I want to say this.
No. This is the argument
league,
I have.
Look at all these tackles, and I watched a lot of them. And over
okay,
the,
here's before you say anything else. On the pregame show, you know, Dempsey was talking about how this is like the biggest game of Jokel's career. He's a lot to prove, and I mean, I'm exaggerating, but he basically that's who he wanted to watch, right? Is that accurate?
That's correct. You wanted to watch Jokel.
And he said he has a lot to prove. I said, prove to who?
To himself.
Well, you know, the fans, and uh-huh. I disagree with that 100%.
Why?
Because I said it this way. The fans don't know what they're – it's a perception issue when it comes to the fans. The fans think he's a butt. They think he's a bust. The fans don't think he's any good. And my point to Dempsey was, Dempsey, how many left tackles are in the league? 32. How many of those have you watched to tell me where he ranks among the 32 right. tackles in the NFL?
And he went to PFF and they ranked him last, right, I bet?
I have no idea. No, he didn't even go to that. But my point is, he made – no, Dempsey was honest. He goes, I don't know. I don't watch anyone else.
but
or very few other guys. So my point is, I said Luke Jokel is in the probably the middle of the pack of left tackles in the NFL.
Yes.
I mean, now, or maybe, you know, you have how many, 10 really good ones, and then, you know, 15 that are okay, and then you have 5 or 6 real bad ones.
Luke Jokel should be good as Jared Valdir in Arizona, and he's not. And he's not. So the problem with Luke Jokel right now is everybody in this town compares him to you. You're his biggest problem.
It's my fault.
Way to go, Tony.
I knew it was my fault.
It is your fault. I mean, it's not your fault, but that's the barometer, and people are used to that. You're always gonna, when UG Monroe was here, it was the same thing. They're going to compare him to you, and they can't. It's not fair to the kid. It never was fair to the kid. If you the offensive line play in the National Football League now, particularly the tackle play, is not anything close to what it was when he was in the league. Think about the golden age of the tackles.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about this a lot.
Well,
sure.
I'll just say this. Overall, I thought Luke played better. Does it need to get better? Yes.
Right.
Give him a sack.
Right.
And that's the other thing that drives me crazy. And this is league-wide. I mean, we treat the sack like it's like the, you know, the golden, like, something.
Where you make
like,
your money.
No, that's my point. But, you know, I can show you a bunch of guys who get sacks that are junk sacks, and they didn't do anything.
Right.
They didn't even beat the guy they're playing.
Right. Garbage sacks.
Garbage sacks.
Right.
And I can show you tackles who say they, you know, I'll give a perfect example. Is the Denver Broncos offensive line any good, Pete?
Not right now it is.
Okay, were they any good last year?
No.
They gave up one of the fewest amount of sacks in the league.
Because
the
quarterback.
Because their quarterback. Right. The sack's an overblown stat.
I know. Blaine Brunel, he gave up. You gave up sacks because of him.
I'm not saying that.
Way to go, Mark. Jeez.
Your fault,
Lefty.
Mark.
I got a story. See, back in the day, I would have made a story out of that.
Sure, right.
Back in a moment, more offensive line talk. Plenty to get to. We'll talk about that pass rush idea a little bit later.
Are we going to take calls?
As
my
well.
Favorite segment?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we want callers.
Okay.
Let's do that next.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday continues.
Do you remember Rydell's?
Rydell's shoes.
Right? Yeah, Rydell's shoes.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Long
I
time ago.
Wear those.
They had like the weird tongue on the top of them.
They were terrible.
Back in my day, that's all they had.
We had Nikes.
No, not back in my day we didn't.
Yeah, no
Nikes. They started in 1972 or 73. Yeah, but they didn't have Nike cleats for
right,
a long time.
Right, no, but by the time I got to high school, they had Nikes.
Rydell's, they had like thing around the
terrible.
Shoe. They're bad.
I had those when little, like
Pee-wee
junior in junior high. I wore those, but by the time I got to high school, they had the
Nike. I had Pumas and Pee-wee. They were good.
I had the Rydells. Yeah.
Nice. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. Let's continue with this offensive line stuff. The argument the other day was, is the left tackle Jokel thing one of the big issues on this team right now? He's going to be the left tackle. They're not changing Jokel from left tackle, right? I mean, come on.
What about Wellesley?
Stop. I don't know. What about him?
I'm joking.
You started.
No, I'll say this.
Okay, will he be the left tackle next
year?
Yes,
Jokel's. Oh,
will
next
be the left
year?
Tackle?
I think so.
That's the question.
Well, I'm still a believer that Luke Jokel's going to be a good player.
Good as in serviceable good?
No, like a good, like a guy that you know what, that you can play.
Like Valdir.
Yeah, like a good, solid guy that you're going to be like, listen, when he comes up for free agency, we want to keep this guy because there's not that many of those around that can. I'm not saying he's going to be a Pro Bowl.
Will he be
or
better
pro.
Than UG Monroe?
There was a question on Twitter just a moment ago.
Like Eugene Monroe to me was better than he got credit for, but I think my criticism of Eugene always was he was not a very physical player and didn't finish. Like I got frustrated with Eugene because I thought he could, like he was real athletic, did good things, and he's a good player, but I felt like if it was just like if he wanted to be physical, he could be like a Pro Bowl player. That was my frustration.
Well, he always wanted to get down to 295.
It was like too much finesse for me. Not that he wasn't good. Just his style bothered me more than anything. Not that he's not a good player. Eugene Monroe's a good player. So I think Luke could be.
The question for fans right now is, and this is one you hear out there.
But there's bigger issues on the team than left
Luke
tackle.
Is Luke Jokel closer to Tony Boselli or Mike Pearson?
I'm not commenting on that. I'm not. I refuse to comment on that. That's a stupid question.
You're laughing at it, though.
No, I'm laughing at you because you're laughing so hard.
That's a legitimate question.
No, it's not.
Was not Mike Pearson drafted to play left tackle here?
Like in the fifth round, wasn't he? I don't even know what round he was.
But he was going to be the guy after you, remember?
I guess.
So is
I was in Houston trying to figure out how to get my shoulder to work.
That didn't work out,
did it? Didn't work out very well.
So, I mean, that's a legitimate question. Is he closer to Mike Pearson or Tony Vasallo?
Listen, I'll say this.
Different now.
I'm not even going to mention that. I'm going to say this. It's not, to your question, JP, it's not the biggest. It's not even in the top three biggest issues on this team. I mean, the biggest issue is.
Let's rank them, yeah. Go
okay,
ahead.
Pass rush.
No, bigger than anything is. Not issue, but biggest thing that's going to determine how this team plays is does Blake Bortles take the step that we think he's going to take? I mean, that's more important than anything.
Oh, yeah, because if he's what you think he is,
that's great.
That cures your ills.
It covers a lot.
Unless he's Andrew Luck, then it covers up all the ills.
Somehow, because that's not a talented team.
No,
and covers up. He makes
Ryan
it
Grigson gets so mad at me. He goes, you know, you keep saying that Andrew Luck covers up all the ills. And I go, well, yeah. Yes, he does. Yeah,
so Bortles is far and away number one.
Yeah, yes. But not issue. But if you talk about issues.
Right.
Pass rush.
Pass rush. First and foremost.
Absolutely. Biggest question.
Second round, Mike Pearson.
Well, we're already beyond that. Biggest question mark, biggest concern, biggest unknown is where's the pass rush come from and can they get to the quarterback? That's number one.
Right. I would agree with that.
Number two to me is who's going to be the go-to guy, not go-to guy because it's Allen Robinson, but what does our outside receivers look like?
You mean speed?
Speed. Are they going to take the next step that you have? Is Allen Robinson going to become a one? Like, he's the guy. You know, who's going to be that number two guy? Who's going to stretch the field? So wide receiver to me is a bigger question than left tackle.
See, I think Allen Robinson will be a one in the way Keenan was a one, a 1A.
Nah, he's bigger, Pete. I think he can be a big guy.
He's bigger, but Keenan ran better routes and stuff.
Yeah, but he's young, and he'll be. I can be like a Brandon Marshall type of big.
Whoa.
Wow. Big physical receiver.
Throw it out there.
You're talking about high praise there. I'm a big Allen Robinson guy, but you're talking about Brandon Marshall. When he was at his prime, he was catching 110 passes.
I think Allen Robinson's a big, physical, fast guy. Not a burner, but like explosive.
All right. So you think he can be? Yes. You could think he can be a one. You think he could be a top 10 receiver in the league?
I think he can be a stud.
Well, okay.
I mean, I could be wrong. I could be drinking the Kool Aid. I mean. I'll say this. I watched someone that you saw the little screen he caught.
Yeah.
How about the explosion up the field? We didn't see that last year.
No.
Different. But that's a bigger question to me than offensive line or left tackle.
No, pass rush is first and foremost.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Speed outside in the passing game, whether Lee shows up or whatever, number two.
And then
I think the safety position is a major concern.
Yeah, I agree. And then offensive line.
Both safeties are free safety.
Take your pick. This is a league where you better be able to cover. You have to be able to cover. When you drop the safety down, the single high's got to be able to go there to there. And if they don't have that, you're going to expose a lot of
stuff. Well,
I'll
say this. Everyone talks about Luke Joker from that draft class. Number two pick was Jonathan Cyprian. He's got to play.
This is a big year for him, too.
He's got to play better. I mean, I'll say this. Sip was better his rookie year, and I don't think he took a big jump to his second year.
I think he needs to be in the Cam Chancellor role more than he's been in that Cam Chancellor role.
All right. Yeah. I mean, they need a true free.
Right, and that's the problem. There aren't any in this league.
Might be James Sample.
Eric Weddle next year. Pay him a lot of money.
How old is he going to be, though?
30.
That's not bad for that position. All right, let's go.
Let's go to the phone lines. Here we go. Tim in St. Augustine wants to talk about.
Let's see how this year starts off, Tim. You're the first caller. See if it's going to be a debacle or it's going to be good.
Hello, Tim. Tim.
Okay, turn down the radio. Let's start there, Tim.
Tim is on hold. Let's go to Darren in Mandarin to talk about the offensive line.
Hey, guys.
Call us
to hear you again.
Hang on.
I got a couple questions, one for Tony.
Okay.
And just a statement on Tannehill. Tannehill's looked great down in South Florida.
Okay. Stop. I don't care about Tannehill.
So the only person I can call in is just got to talk about the Jags?
No, but you said you wanted to talk about the Jags, and then you started talking about Tannehill.
Offensive line.
I've got a question for you about Audric, because the other day you said Audric was this great run stuffer. The reason they run him out of Miami and brought in Jordan Phillips, the number two pick, and Ndamukong Suh and C.J. Mosley was because the Dolphins couldn't stop the run. Their two tackles, Randy Starks and Audric, we're getting blown off the ball. So what's your question on that? Your answer.
I don't have a question on that, Darren.
Darren used to call my show, and you know what? The Dolphins could no. Hey, Darren, remember you used to call, and the Dolphins could do no wrong ever.
Starting
with their 8-8 all the time.
This is the first year ever since I've been on the radio. You know, calling you guys, not you guys, but even back when it was UP. This is the first year since you have to go back to Jimmy Johnson, Dan Marino, Bowens.
Hey, that worked good for you guys.
So
you guys were good that year.
This is the first time that I think the Dolphins might go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, Darren.
Hey, Darren, year Jimmy Johnson, Dan Marino, wasn't like 63-3?
62-7.
You guys were close to the Super Bowl.
Well, listen, Tony, why don't you answer the question about Audrick?
I think Audrick's – I mean, what's the – you're talking about one guy. First of all
– Audrick got his ace run out of Miami because they couldn't stop the run along with Randy Starks.
No, Audrick got run out of Miami because they paid Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, that's – you're wrong, Darren.
Darren.
No, Dolphins had no desire to bring back Audrick.
Wrong. If they don't win –
And what about Tannehill? I think Tannehill's going to be –
I like Tannehill.
Congratulations.
I like Tannehill.
I don't care about Tannehill.
You're still not winning the division, though.
I don't care about Tannehill. I don't care about Ndamukong Suh. I don't care about any of those.
You know why you're not
guys.
Winning the division? Tom Brady.
Wow. First of all, Darren, you guys will be third in the division. Buffalo will be ahead of you guys.
Tyrod Taylor, stop it. Just stop it.
I got a plan for them.
Stop it, Tyrod Taylor.
I got a plan for the Bills.
Just stop.
I got a plan.
Plus, I got Rex as a coach.
I got a plan. They're a good defense. So. You know what the Bills should do, Pete? Trade for Barkley.
It's a trade for Mettenberger.
Or Mettenberger, either one. Barkley. You see how good Barkley looked yesterday?
Yeah, Mettenberger looked better.
Well, but the Titans aren't going to trade Mettenberger.
I said to Mettenberger after the game, I go, you know, somebody needs a trade for it. He kind of like, he didn't want to hear it.
Barkley. Philly.
Huh?
Philly
Barkley looked good.
Yeah.
Hey, let's put it this way. Tebow made Barkley look like Marino in his prime.
Wow. How about that? Pete is back. Let's go try Tim in St. Augustine.
Tim was on hold. Darren was talking about Tannehill.
Out of nowhere.
When he says he wants to talk about the offensive line.
Yeah. Oh, Tim's gone. Tim's out of here.
Let's
all
get
right.
Out of here. What's next? We got more.
Let's just go for it.
Just go for it.
This is.
Go
just what's go going on? Who is this? Hello.
Hello.
This is Jaguars
Tim
Monday. Tim. This is Tim.
This
How
is
are
Tim.
You, Tim?
Tim called back on a different line.
Tim, are you there?
Nah, I got disconnected.
Okay. What's up, Tim?
Anyways, back to my question. Joko. All right, I don't think anybody would say that he was a bad pick. He was consensus number one pick, right?
Or number two pick, yes. He was number two pick.
All right, but maybe you project number one. Anyways, any con that he has, any weakness that he currently has, hindsight being 2020, can you look back at his college tape and say, yeah, that was anticipated. Somebody should have seen that coming, or is it completely mental, complete surprise?
I didn't see it. I didn't see anything that would tell me he would struggle with this. I always want to be careful when I say struggling. It's not like he's getting run around constantly out there. I mean, it's something he needs to get better at. I do think it's a lot of it's mental, and I think it's very fixable, and I think, you know, Doug Marrone, Luke Buckus, and that group will get it figured out.
It's not like he's Brian DeMarco in pass protection.
No. I mean, you bring up some names in the past.
Remember what a good pass protector he was at right tackle?
Yeah, go to number four, Mac. Go to Mac. Thanks, Tim. Go to Mac on number four. Line
Let's
four.
Go to Mac. Mac. Mac, are you there? Oh, we don't have Mac. Mac. Hey. Mac, there you are. How are you?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
Good.
Great. What's up?
Hey, Pete. What's up? You're famous, Mac.
Yeah, I know you are, Mac. What's up, man? How you been?
You bring the great
I bring all
out.
The callers out. They love me. They miss me. They miss me. They wait all year for me to come back.
And Tony?
What?
Tony?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for you to run the mayor in Jacksonville.
Mayor Baselli. Well, it has a bad ring to it.
I might run for mayor just so Pete has to say Mayor Baselli.
No.
Hey, these hand injuries with the new tight end and Cyprian. I hope that what they've been saying they'll be there for the September 13th against the Panthers.
Yeah, I think Sip.
Club it up.
He could play now if it was not the preseason. Because what I understand it to be now, they don't have to give us specifics because the rules of how they report injuries. But it sounds like JP, correct me if I'm wrong, you're here more than anybody, a non-displaced fracture for Sip.
Yes, and so, it's in the index finger
right,
below
so
the knuckle
my guess
in the
is,
hand there.
My guess is if he had to, he could club it up and play. And I think Julius Thomas, it's if I understand that, it's in the middle finger or in the hand of the middle
it
finger?
It is just below the middle finger on the top of the hand.
But that's that's non-displaced too.
He could probably play with that too if he had it.
Yeah, maybe playoffs or something like that maybe.
If it was a Super Bowl, he'd probably play.
Heck yeah, you'd play. But I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be ready for the regular season as well.
How did he do that? When he hit the ground?
I don't know.
It was under the ball, and apparently like the finger went back when he landed on the ball somehow.
Okay. Because I watched it today, and I couldn't tell.
It was really quick, just really, really quick.
I almost think it's a blessing in disguise for Julius Thomas.
So he doesn't have to work in preseason?
No. Risk? No risk. Just get him to the first game.
Clay Harbour did some good things.
Yeah, Clay Harbour played well. And Clay Harbour's had outside of him dropping that ball. But he's had a pretty good camp.
The other tight end, I thought he was supposed to be more physical, and at times he looked like he didn't block.
Mercedes?
No, the other one.
Koyak?
No, the 80, what was it?
Nick Jacobs.
He had some nice blocks.
He's a big kid. He's big guy.
Yeah, he had some nice blocks. Yeah.
That's not a positional problem, even
no.
if Julius is on the field the rest of the preseason.
No, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're pretty good there.
This is a dumb question. I'm full of dumb
questions.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Is it a collective group, one of the best in the league?
No.
No?
There's this guy called Gronk.
Yeah, but that's one guy.
Well, that eliminates it. Okay. That eliminates the conversation. Right?
Okay, good.
Gronk and me.
I told you it was a dumb question.
Gronk,
what do you want?
Gronk and the three of us is the best position.
Best tight end group in the league.
Okay. Let's go to Austin quickly in Bartram to talk about Blake Bortles. Austin, good evening. Gosh.
Hey, guys, I wanted to talk about Blake. I think that the Jaguars can be really, really solid if Blake Bortles actually comes through. Not that he's on any route to not.
Brilliant.
I think he's headed towards good things. But basically, the Colts had Peyton Manning and were like 14-2. They lose him and go like 2-14. The next year, they draft Luck and they're right back in the playoffs. I mean, the quarterback is so much that I think if Blake shows out, we'll be all right this year.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. There you go. That's a good take.
Yeah, it's
A better question than I have.
It's hot take.
Hot takes.
Quarterback's important.
Yeah. Is he? 70% of the game.
Let's go to Pete. Austin's hanging out with Pete.
70% of the game.
I look at some of the names up there. I can't wait to talk
to them. We'll get to some of these in just a moment. Jaguars.
Remember that woman that berated you last year?
Oh, she was so mean.
Nice lady, actually.
Killed you.
She was so mean.
She's very nice. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with more calls. Guess what? Terrence is coming up. Your favorite.
And after we talk to Terrence, I want to bring up my pass rush solution to Pete.
Plenty of Jaguars Monday remaining on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco, the first Jaguars Monday of 2015. Glad you're along with us tonight.
You want to go through the league stats after week one?
I can't wait to see the rankings.
Oh, my God.
That is, there are some trees being killed.
Yeah, the fact the league wastes paper to send those out, it's ridiculous.
Jacksonville's fifth in passing.
All right.
Defense.
Hey, nice.
It's great news.
Good start.
Fourth against the rush. Defense.
Outstanding. It's great.
Let's go back to the phone lines.
It means nothing.
Nothing.
Say good evening.
Actually, it means less than nothing because we just wasted our breath talking about it.
Yeah, well, it's fun to laugh about.
Can I talk now?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines and welcome in Terrence from the South Side. Hello, Terrence.
Hey, JP, Pete.
Yes.
And my man, the Pride, the Sunshine Pop. Hey, Tony, I want to ask you, what about you at the whole game on tape?
Did I watch the game on tape? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I did. What's the question?
How many bad plays did Lou Joker have in the whole game?
Whole game?
Yes.
I'll say two.
The only two, the sack and the touchdown. That was it?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's he got tripped up on the backside once. I mean, he got tripped up, feet tangled up. I wouldn't give him a plus, but I'm not going to, kill him on it. He got up on a screen and tried to cut the guy, missed, but he made him redirect, so the screen was successful.
That was the Gerhardt.
Yeah, so I thought that was okay. Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, Terrence, without watching it again and going through line by line, I don't sit there and grade it like I'm a coach. Yeah, I said two.
Okay, I mean, well, because, I mean, I heard you saying that he improved, in your opinion, he's improving.
Yeah, I do.
But
you got to remember,
I'm basing that off on the fact that I've watched OTAs, I've watched training camp, I've seen what he's working on, I see the drills he's performing, I see the progress he's making in practice, and I watch the game. So I'm not evaluating it under one. I'm not going to. Here's what everyone wants to do, Terrence.
Right.
This is what everyone wants to do. He gave up a sack. He stinks. He's awful.
See, that's
he
Terrence.
Can't play left
Terrence
tackle.
Used to call my show all the time. He'd do the exact same thing. That's you, Terrence. Remember?
I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you. You're the knee-jerk.
Yeah, he admitted it.
He used to call my show every Monday. Knee-jerk reaction.
One sack. He's awful. We're done. We don't have no left tackle. Oh, my gosh. The world's ending.
1995, if you were around, you would have called up, boy, that left tackle's terrible.
No, and we're talking. If you're saying that we don't see, if we see the sack, and we constantly seeing it, and I tell you what, the team benefited from the bass play on the touchdown, because if he did, if he did what he was supposed to do, that might not have been a touchdown.
I'm not going to speculate. I mean, there's a lot of ifs and nuts. You know, what's it? Candies and nuts and butts.
If your aunt had a mustache, she'd be your uncle.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, that's
basically correct, yeah.
Let's continue with the calls. Rick in Ponte Vedra wants to talk O-line. What's up, Rick?
Great control of the English language there, Tony. Hey, Pete, I really enjoy how you ruin Tony all the time on everything he says. Tony, you know as well as I know, Tony, you know as well as I
is
do that
brother,
we don't
Pete?
Haven't had an offensive line since you left.
Yeah, you're right. You know it, Rick. I know, man. You're right.
I know I'm right,
you
and
are.
You know I'm right.
No, I do. I mean, you're right.
I mean, what in the world do we have to do to get two more Tony Baselli's on the line? I mean, what are we waiting for?
Where the heck are you going to get them? Where do you find them? They come around once in a blue moon.
Everyone stop for a second. Rick, you're dead wrong. The offensive line played well on Friday night.
They did play well.
They ran the ball. Go look at the quarterback's production. He has no one in his face the majority of the time. There was one sack. One sack, and they went up and down the field. You know what I'm curious about, Rick? Why aren't you asking about the three drops that stopped drives?
Crickets.
Offensive line runs the game. We won the game.
You just got done saying we have no offensive line. You don't know what you're talking about.
We still haven't had an offensive line.
You're wrong. They led the league in rushing. They led the league in rushing in 07 or 06 when we went to the playoffs. Who do you think? They had an offensive line to do that.
We led the off.
No, you're done. Bye.
By the way, aside from Baselli and Searcy, the offensive lines back in the day weren't all that great either. They weren't.
Ben Coleman was good.
He's okay.
Benny Tilsk.
They were just so
Chief before he blew his back after game four.
Come on, think about it.
Love Chief. Chief was good though.
He would have been good, but he hurt himself. But I mean, seriously, the lines. Everybody acts like the old lines were that much better.
Pete, listen, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, guys. I mean, first of all, I don't understand Rick. He starts to cough by insulting me.
Well, he did
Which
say that
start,
I was right all the
way.
Time. I give you crap.
It's a great start.
It's a great start.
And then he expects, and then he says something. We haven't had an offensive line since 1994. I mean, come on.
I'm going to say something about the offensive line, and you'll agree with me. The college game is ruining the offensive line play.
Oh, I agree, especially tackles.
Bad. Pass and tap.
There's no physicality.
Nothing.
Yeah, there's not.
Bad.
I agree.
Ruining the game.
Very few. I mean, there's a couple teams that are good after you.
Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Or Stanford.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phone lines.
Florida State does. Florida State's a pro-style offense.
They will start next year. John on the south side wants to talk
better,
about
otherwise
the
they're gonna hear about
left tackle. What's up,
pass
John?
And tap.
Oh. Hey, how's it going? So I want to keep going on this offensive line.
Okay.
I can't wait.
The issue with Jokel is he's just not tough enough to be a left
That's
tackle.
That's it. You're right. He's,
when
so
he
he's
gets
not
knocked
tough.
On his butt,
you're
he
right.
doesn't even care.
He is.
I mean,
he
just doesn't have it.
You're, how'd you, I mean, honestly, you're an... the way you analyze this is so 100% accurate. He doesn't care at all. You should see him. When he gets knocked down, he's laughing. He goes home, doesn't watch film, doesn't work out. He doesn't take extra sets on the football field. He doesn't study. He doesn't work with his coach, and he's not tough. Seriously, one of the softest human beings I've ever seen. He's so soft. I mean, seriously. Most,
you know, you're sounding like a coach now.
I mean, no, but this guy.
You are. You're starting to sound like a coach.
What's this guy's name?
You're starting to sound like a coach,
John,
Tony.
On the south
John,
side.
You don't think Luke Jokel's tough. And what do you base it on?
He doesn't have the tenacity that it takes to play left tackle in a family. I don't know about
what do you base it on? What do you base that on?
I'm based off a year and a half of him getting knocked on his butt, getting up and getting knocked a dick.
Knocked on his butt? How many times did he get knocked on his butt on Friday night? How many times?
He played one quarter.
No, he played halfway. He played a quarter. How many times did he get knocked on his butt? How many times?
Two times in a
no, the answer is zero. Zero times. He got beat around the corner.
Because he couldn't touch the guy, so he couldn't get knocked on his butt.
Well, he did touch him.
No, he did touch him. He got on the edge. He lunged. I mean, this is the ignorance.
It's not a toughness thing.
And this is the problem I had. The perception issue. We talked about Friday night before the game. These calls confirm my belief.
Yeah, but you went into coach speak.
Oh, come on.
You
Pete.
Did.
That was ridiculous.
He's playing hard every play. He's going to give it 100%.
No,
it's play by play.
I was being
game
sarcastic.
By game. I know you were. But you defend him like a coach.
No, that was a ridiculous call. He's not tough.
Here's the problem, Tony.
First, I'd love for John and Luke to meet in a dark alley and find out who's tough.
That's not the issue.
I mean, let's. I mean, really?
Come on.
No, but that's what he said. That's what he said.
It's not and what is tough in the NFL? Is it playing through injury or is it being a guy
I don't know.
Who gets cheap shots? Nobody
that's
knows.
That's why I don't like what – I don't
right.
understand
hey,
what
look,
they're
he's
saying.
He's plenty tough
Between
enough.
Him, Darren, and the other – who's the other guy?
He's plenty tough enough. That's not the
this
issue.
This is why the call time gives me a headache.
You
this
got a
these
big
call,
head.
It gives me a headache because that's ridiculous.
You got have to quit babying
I'm not
your
babying.
Offensive
I'm
lineman.
Not babying
yes,
him.
You do.
I said he gave up a sack. I said he has to be better. I said
when I asked you the question, is he closer to Mike Pearson or you? He wouldn't answer the question.
Because I'm not going to talk about
– Do you remember Mike Pearson?
I'm tired. Yes.
Was he any good?
I don't know. I never watched.
He was not any good.
I told you. I was in Houston trying to figure out how to get my left shoulder to work.
Mike works for a buddy of mine now, so I don't want to kill him too much, but he wasn't any good.
Well, I don't want to kill him, but he stunk. I mean, come
I didn't say stink. I just said he wasn't any good.
That's much better.
That's very nice of you.
Number 11 for the Eagles stinks.
You're so kind. Who's number 11?
The quarterback. The left-handed quarterback. He's wearing number 11.
He's a hometown hero. Oh, come on. Let's go to Greg. Oh, we'll get to that coming up. Greg on the west side wants to talk defense. How about some positivity from Greg? What's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Great.
Great.
Hey, I promise I'm not going to do any more O-line. I have a question. I watched the preseason game on Friday, and I was kind of concerned because the first series that the Steelers did when they actually had their first stringers out there, they seemed to be pretty adept to just go down the field and score on us, and I'm just curious if that's just, you know, the nature of preseason. They're just
That's the Steelers are really good on offense, and we did not get a pass rush and didn't make tackles when we had a chance to. Sip had a chance for a no-gainer on Le'Veon Bell and missed. We got beat at the line of scrimmage and man coverage, and, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is going to expose you when that happens. Listen, they're really good. Pittsburgh's a really good offense, and they went down the field way too easily. I don't think that'll be an issue. The one thing that I think, you know, Bob Babich and the defensive staff, you know, obviously with Gus's oversight, they've done a good job of making adjustments in games. Even there's been games, not always, but most of the time, where they've given up early scores and they figure out how to, you know, make corrections. We didn't find out if that was going to happen because Ben played that one series, was 3-for-3, touchdown, I'm out. It was too easy over the years.
You've seen teams go in and light up a team in the first
preseason
game. No, but
that's a good defense, OP. I mean, a good offense.
Oh, it's a really good offense, but it's not a good offense because of what they did that night. They're
no,
a good offense because that's what they
are.
Yeah,
they're a great offense.
Right.
Yeah. So to answer your question,
I mean, Blake Average leading passer in the NFC right now, for anybody who wants to know.
Oh, wow.
Pete, stop.
There you have it.
Yes.
Stop.
It's number one passer rating
in
the NFC.
Stop.
Didn't his coach really back him up the other day, too?
Yeah. Tomlinson.
Yeah.
The Tom Sula.
Tom Sula, whatever.
There's a
how bad is that going to be?
Quarterback controversy.
No, there's not.
Quarterback controversy.
Come on.
One last call. Kyle in Orange Park to talk the O-line. We'll wrap up the phone calls tonight. Kyle, what's up?
How's it going, fellas? Just want to talk a little O-line. I'm not here to bash anybody. For the most part, on Friday, I thought we had a pretty good pocket for the most part. I did go back and look over a little tape myself. I went play by play. To me, Linder's just an animal, man. Linder is an animal, and I tend to compare. Even though I know it's different positioning, I tend to compare Linder and Jokel, man. And Jokel, he doesn't really move people around, man. I really do like Jokel. I'm not bashing Jokel, Tony. I really do like him. I feel like he comes out of his base too much. Meaning, like, you know, he's off balance. His shoulders are over his toes.
I agree with that. I said all that. I agree.
I really like what he could bring to the table, but as far as our, he is the weakest link in our line right now, man. And he has the potential to be.
I'd probably go to the left guard.
Hear me out. Zane Beatles is probably not as good ceiling-wise. Obviously, he's an older player. Jokel's got a higher ceiling than him. But right now, what I saw in preseason, Zane Beatles was actually
was
moving guys off the ball.
It was
I went play by play all the way,
one
all the way through till Henny played. He had snaps.
One quarter.
If I can remember correctly, Jokel took snaps even when Henny came in the game.
No,
well.
No you're
no,
wrong.
No, he did not.
I don't know what you're watching. No, that nice what tape are you watching?
Right
that last
there.
Year's
but
game?
You Parnell, say, here, on the other side, Parnell looked way better than Jokel did on his side.
Well, here's how I rank
and
the offensive lineman.
To,
ready?
Hold on.
Ready? Here's your ranking of the offensive lineman. Number one, Linder. Best
agreed.
Player on the line.
Agreed.
Number two right now is Parnell.
Agreed.
Number three is probably Jokel. And people will say I'm crazy. Who would you make number three?
I'm okay with that.
And then Bowango is four, and
I
then
agree.
Beatles.
I mean, if we're rating C1, 2, and 3, I mean, I guess you could throw Jokel in there we're talking about a guy that was a number two overall.
Whoa! Stop!
Hold
stop
on,
right
I'm
there.
On, he's on hold.
Okay, stop right there.
Yeah. What did he say?
You're talking about a guy who's the number two overall pick. What does that have to do with anything right now?
That was my point after the
it
game the other night.
Nothing
yes.
to do
well, yes,
with
it. Does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
Pete.
It does.
No.
It does because if you got a, if you got, you got.
No.
Yes.
What
you
does
drafted
that do
him at high. Supposed to be a cornerstone player in the franchise.
Okay. But we're year three.
So what?
Okay, but how does that compare? But what does that mean for where you rank him as an offensive lineman
that's
right
not,
now?
That's not it.
Where does it mean you, based on what he does, good or bad?
But here's what
it
people
doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it does.
No.
You draft a guy number two, he's supposed to be a cornerstone player of your franchise, okay?
So if you
now, I'll say this. I'm going to say this, though. That draft stunk. That draft was pathetic. When you look at it,
so,
1 through 15,
you know
it was
what?
Not
then
a good
Linder,
draft.
Linder, I'm going to have to ask you to start playing as – at the high level you're playing right now, and play more like a mid-round draft pick. You're
like
playing
a,
too good.
Like a third-rounder.
Back it up.
Yeah.
Right.
Back it up.
No,
don't play
not,
so well.
But that's not your argument, Tony. If you
Telvin
have,
Smith, fifth-rounder, fifth-rounder.
Slow down, Telvin.
But see, that's what the great teams do. They land a couple guys like that, and then they get their cornerstones that are there for
My point of saying this is that at this point in his career, it doesn't matter where he's drafted.
And here's
he's
the other thing.
Be better.
Here's the other thing about that.
He's got to be better.
He's only in his second year, technically, okay? That people keep saying third year. He didn't play really.
Broke his leg.
Right. So that's another
I'm
reason.
Not making any excuses
I'm not
for
making
him.
Excuses for him either. You prop him up too high. The fans probably kill him too low.
How do I prop him up too high? What one thing did I say that?
Because if he was
him
on,
up?
I just think if he was on another team and you didn't know him and you didn't weren't around him as much, you would be much more critical.
No, no.
Yes,
name one. No, I disagree.
If that was Andrew Bocelli playing left tackle,
I'd be way more critical. If it was my kid,
a chance.
And he did exactly what Jokel did the other day.
I'd
you'd be on the radio, be going, "Boy, Andrew's not playing very well right now."
No, not on the radio. Him and I would have a long talk.
So, in other words, I just went all the way around to say that you didn't think he played that well the other day.
No, I did. My point is I'm too hard on my own kid is my whole point.
Yeah.
Thank you for the calls tonight. We'll come back in a moment. And
can't wait for next week.
Marvin Marinovich.
No, seriously.
That's what it is.
Might be too close to that.
We'll look around the National Football League.
And we're talking about my idea for pass rush.
Well, I like that.
I'll tell
I want to hear
what,
it.
Take it over, Tony. We're going to do that when we come back.
We're doing that when we come back. Forget you, JP.
This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. The Jaguars have announced the winner of the Small Business Breakthrough presented by Web.com. Modiston Incorporated wins the Small Business Breakthrough and gets a package from the Jaguars and Web.com.
What is that?
Sunglasses. It is a sunglass company made out of recycled
skateboards. You didn't watch podcast the other night.
I didn't know what it was called. I saw those that I couldn't hear.
They make them out of recycled
skateboards. But I was watching the radio booth. We couldn't hear what they were talking about. That was pretty cool.
Modiston.
Missed a play because of that, too, by the way.
Yeah.
We did. I was watching it and missed the play.
There you have it.
Radio didn't, did we, Joe? We didn't miss any plays.
Yeah, we did.
They might have, yeah. So Modiston, the recycled skateboards into sunglasses, and it's a Jacksonville Beach company. Two employees in this company.
That's cool.
Right now.
I just have a question.
Where's our pairs?
It's a great question, actually.
That's question one. Where's my pair?
A really big pair for you.
Question two. Why, like, could you make, I guess my question, could you make recycled sunglasses, could you make sunglasses out of any recycled material? I mean, is there something unique about a surfboard or
skateboard?
Or I thought it was surfboards, too.
Skateboard, I believe. This is what the way I understand
I don't know that either. Maybe somebody will have the answer to that question.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
When they send us a box of them.
Yeah. I don't know if there's something special. Like, could I make?
I have expected Shotgun to put them on the other night. Did you see him? He had them in his hand.
Oh, I wasn't here. No, I was not outside. I didn't see it. So,
he was in here working.
That's right.
He's a grinder.
Doing radio.
Listening to me.
During the game?
Yes.
Yeah, he does radio during the game.
Yeah, we have updates. It's called radio.
Okay.
But the sponsorship with the Jaguars for Modiston is valued at over $250,000. And I'll tell you what, that's a big time break for those guys. And
Baselli's Online Academy.
Yeah, I'm going
to
register for that next year.
Everybody's great.
Is it over? do they have another, like later in the year, do they have another contest?
Maybe next year.
You know that?
This is for 1 year. It just happened.
I heard
everybody,
you, Pete. I'm ignoring
everybody,
you.
There's no flaws. Anybody who comes through here has no flaws.
Perfect.
That is not true. All you have to do is come watch me coach at Episcopal, and you'll hear my offensive line is coached very with love and care, but very direct and to the point.
I might have to come watch that.
Come
someday.
Watch. It's a treat.
I want to come watch a game.
Comedy show. Practice is more fun.
I'm going to come watch a game.
Are they home, a week from Friday they're home?
Yeah, but I'm
you're out.
Do you play public school?
That's right.
Yeah. Do you play public school?
Play Wolfson open tonight.
I don't like that. That's one of my pet peeves in life, by the way.
Because you were a public school kid.
Yeah.
So was I. Yeah.
And got beat by all the private school kids.
No, we played St. Thomas Aquinas back in the day.
They killed you.
No, they didn't kill us. We had kids transfer from my school go play there. I just don't – like American Heritage down in Fort Lauderdale has 18 D1 players. Remember when they played Clay in the finals of 1 year? They beat them. It was 50-0 almost at halftime. That's unfair. Can't
recruit. Unfair?
You recruit.
They don't recruit. Recruiting's illegal for everybody.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So you've been pushing this pass rush idea all night,
Tony.
What do you got?
This should be good. Will I agree with you?
If I was GM.
GM Tony Baselli.
Of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. I would sign Alden Smith to a contract immediately.
Me too.
It might not help you this year because most likely he's going to be suspended for the year. But that's not guaranteed because under the new policy, the rules are so much different.
Right. And it's not about this year anyways.
And it's not about this. Exactly right. I would sign him today.
Me too.
And I would work with his agent and his team to get him the help he needed. And if he's suspended 10 games this year, you only give him 6.
Pay him on that.
You pay him for the 6.
And you pay him a contract that's not – it's incentive laden.
And you make it – I would give him higher incentives than anyone else in the league.
Right.
So he wanted to come here. We have the cap space.
Right.
I would take care of him.
I agree.
And I would bring Alden Smith in.
I would too. And somebody will say, well, how do you sell that to the fan base? Well,
what do
here's
mean?
How you sell. You get an elite pass rusher.
The best pass
no
rusher.
Risk.
Yeah, there's zero.
If something goes –
Well, the risk
goes,
is this. Here's the biggest risk. He comes to town, lives here, and he doesn't get over his trouble, and he's out there
– And he DUI. Drunk, kills somebody.
And kills somebody. That's a risk. I mean, that's the biggest risk, Pete.
Right.
But
– take away his car keys.
I mean, I would set up a system. I mean, I'll say this. There are teams – like the Dallas Cowboys are a great example. They – now, Dez Bryant, from everything you read, is doing much better now. But at first, Dez Bryant was an issue off the field, some issues. So what did Jerry do? He hired, like, a staff to make sure Dez Bryant was going to be okay. did the same thing with Admin Packman and Jones. I mean, so I think you could create an environment to try to help him have as much success as possible.
Do they have 3-2-1 here?
I'm not saying it's –
You know what that is?
No.
Somebody was telling me about this in Cincinnati the other day. I think it's a company, and they do it all over, but in Cincinnati it's called 3-2-1 or something like that, where a player can call, they come
get
them.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
And they bring a car. It's but see, the teams have an account usually with that thing, but you don't want to use the team account because then they know you're out until 4 o'clock.
The PA should have something where you just call whenever you want.
Right.
My point is,
I think the PA has something like
I'm
that,
sure
don't they?
I don't know.
But
I would.
They can't get the team though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If a guy's going to call, he's out at 4 o'clock in the morning and he's drinking and driving, and he knows he shouldn't drive, and he's not going to take a cab.
And he shouldn't be out.
He should be able to call your boss. They should know.
That's my point. You should have to call the boss. Say I'm out here drunk at 4 in the morning.
Right.
But my point is, I would sign him. I'd sign him today.
We agree on that. I would too.
He might be, you know, most likely he's not here this year.
He might be.
But he might get six games.
Stretch
out.
Run.
He might get eight games out.
Stretch
of
playoff run.
He
stretch
is,
run.
He is probably the best young outside edge pass rusher in football.
And they're hard to find.
Would you not agree? I'm trying to think.
Von Miller is right there with them. They're same age. So.
Yeah, but go look at the sack per game numbers. Now, the argument against those numbers is a lot of those when Justin Smith helped him out a lot. Absolutely. Because the push inside brought
tackle,
guys.
Tackle and stunts where he held.
Held guys. But Alden Smith by himself is one of the better. Let's say he's the best. Better edge pass rushers in the game. And if you can help him get figured out his issues, listen, it might not work.
Okay, you painted the worst case scenario of everything.
But the
that's
real,
out there. But what if that doesn't
but
happen,
here,
where's
worst,
your real
the worst,
risk?
Worst case scenario, unfortunately, there are people who drive drunk every day and night in this city and do idiotic things. And
everywhere, not just in this city.
That's what I'm saying. You hope none of that happens anywhere. So take that off the board. Your risk is zero. He doesn't make it. He never plays.
You don't pay him.
You're
any,
not paying
you don't
him
give
much.
Him any,
maybe
you, you pay him if he plays.
Well,
if
sure.
he doesn't play, you know, it's a performance-based contract. You don't pay him anything unless he plays.
Yeah, I don't think.
And he's at the point now where he would sign something like that because he has to.
Well,
right?
No, there's probably – I mean, I can't – my guess is that Pete and I aren't the only people in the world thinking this way. So my guess is there's a couple teams. And you might have to pay him a little bit of signing bonus just to get him to agree to you. So let's say it costs you $500,000. In the big scheme of things, are you willing to risk $500,000?
Greg Hardy got signed. What Greg Hardy did, come on.
I'm just telling you, I would. Oh, it's much worse to me.
Right. I mean, they're all bad, but.
That's way worse to me.
Yeah, that's bad. That's
like
the worst.
Like if a guy hit a girl.
That's worse.
He wouldn't be on my team no matter what.
I agree with you 100%. Goodbye.
No.
Gone.
Especially if there's no unrepentant. I did see the Ray Rice interview the other day. Where he seems like a changed man, I would consider that one. But
the problem with that is there's video of it.
Oh, it's terrible.
No,
it's never going away.
Never.
Never.
Never. If Ray Rice had just been, you know, charged with that and there's no video, he might get another chance. The video.
But
not,
here's the thing. From what I know of the situation and hearing Ray Rice and him talk about it and him be very apologetic, repentant, wanting to change, admitting he was wrong, I'd give him a chance before I did Greg Hardy because I've never heard Greg Hardy say one dang thing about – have you?
What about the quarterback that was
Greg
here
Harder,
on the other team the other night? Talk about a guy who's changed. In the
Roethlisberger's
changed in a big way.
He was menace to society.
Yes, he was, and he wasn't very nice to his teammates. He wasn't very nice to people around him. And I'll tell you what.
He got a wake-up call.
That guy has changed.
He got suspended. Got a wake-up call.
And, but not – he got married. He had kids. He realized – I mean, he's changed. The guy's changed.
Yeah,
he's a different guy.
Change. But back to the bigger issue, I would sign Alden Smith right now. This second.
I would, too.
I would call his agent, say, what will it take to get him signed today?
I would, too. Run it by Dave over there.
That's what I would do if I was GM. Because guess what? If it works.
You're a genius.
You have Alden Smith coming off one side.
Dante Fowler.
Dante Fowler to the other side. You have Senderic Marks up the middle. Maybe Ryan Davis, who's a good third down pass rusher from inside. Audric, I mean, you got.
But not only that.
I mean, you got some guys who can get after the quarterback.
That, you have the quarterback, and you have the guys who knock the quarterback down.
Yeah.
And your plan to move forward. That's how you win in this league,
I'm telling you. I feel strong about that move.
I agree with you.
not my money, and I'm not the GM, so I don't get fired. If
but you know what, though? It's not going to be anybody's money if he doesn't play.
I my guess is you have to give him a little bit of something to get in the door because there's going to be other teams thinking the same way, Pete. That's my guess. I could be wrong.
We'll come back in a moment. We'll look around the National Football League. One segment to go on the first Jaguars Monday of the season. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Vasselli, Pete Frisco. Jaguars Monday.
People are nuts.
Been a fun first show.
We were just watching Junior Gallette fight on the beat.
I mean, it's,
with his
me?
Belt, knucklehead.
Why is he swinging that thing like a lasso?
If I had a big metal thing on it.
A buckle is what they call that, Pete.
They had a buckle.
You would know, Alabama.
Come on, Pete.
Did he have a big,
a big
buckle
metal
on that
thing?
You know, JP has one of those big A buckles.
That's right.
The Alabama buckle.
Yeah, you know it. That's right.
I mean, here's the thing about all these. I mean, I, never mind. It's Junior Gallette thing's old. I mean, I just don't understand
really
it.
Old.
I mean, if you're gonna back to the biggest we were talking about, I signed Alvin Smith today. I know there's issues, substance abuse issues. Listen, I think you can work with a guy through that. Pete, you and I said, if you hit a woman, I just got no time for it.
Although the Jacksonville Jaguars, one day, this is a true story. One day they were going to sign Alonzo Spellman.
I remember that.
1996. And he walked down the hallway, and me and John Osher, our office used to be right over there.
He was crazy.
We looked at him. We said, oh, my God, that guy. And it proved to be true. That was before all his issues. You could just see it. Sometimes
in
you can
eyes.
See it in a guy's
sure.
eyes.
I remember lying up against him in 96. No, 95. It was 95 I lined up. We played the Bears in 95 or 96?
95.
95. Line, I was
Logan got hurt in that game.
I was a rookie. No, that was 98.
98.
I was a rookie, and Spellman lined up across from me. I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy's going to kill me.
You just see his
mean,
eyes.
It's crazy.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, he walked.
He was like one of the biggest human beings ever.
Oh, and he could have been really good.
Oh, my gosh. Powerful, arms long. He was amazing.
And remember, he was the one that was the helicopters. He was shooting at the helicopters or whatever.
Never quite figured it out, though.
No.
Let's look around the National Football League. Phillip Rivers signs an extension through 2019. No trade clause. He'll be with the L.A. Chargers soon, I suppose.
I'm not going to L.A., but if you pay me, I will. Right? All right, look, smart move for him, smart move for the Chargers.
Yeah, you got to lock him up, one of the best quarterbacks
Eli's
in the league.
Eli's next.
We'll see Eli this weekend.
The first
luck
guaranteed $100 million player
luck.
Is going to be luck. I mean, you have to lock him up for him.
Yep.
Speaking of the Colts, T.Y. Hilton signed a huge extension. Was he worth all that?
Yeah, but the way they backloaded it quite a bit to give him a lot of flexibility, I think it was a good deal for both of them.
I'll tell you what, with him and Philip Dorsett on that team and Moncrief, track speed. I'll see them tomorrow. I'll be in Indian tomorrow.
Yeah, I want to hear what you think about them.
Yeah. Got a lot of speed on that team.
Fleener's a good quarterback. I mean, a good tight end, solid tight end.
Allen's solid. Andre Johnson's there, too.
Andre Johnson
and Gore concern me. They concern
me. Yeah, I don't know.
And the offensive line,
in
the middle, Khalid Holmes, not very good. They got problems in the football.
SC,
I know. Nice kid. He's a nice guy, too.
Jadeveon Clowney returned to practice. Wilfork, Watt, Clowney.
Let's see the defense.
Let's see him play
before we start. Yeah. He's coming off a microfracture surgery.
When he was 100% healthy last year, it wasn't exactly dominant.
No, but he's a microfracture surgery,
That's my
too.
Whole point. Right. So why are we all of a sudden, Wilfork, Clowney?
Here's the other thing about Wilfork. It's August. Let's see Wilfork in November. I mean,
Wilfork should play. Does everyone understand he's going to play 12 to 15 plays a game?
Right. And he weighs 350, 360 now. It'll be 390 by
He's going to play 12 to 15 plays a game.
The other guy, on the other hand?
He's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty darn good.
Speaking of the Texans, Hard Knocks review. Did you like the first show? Did you see it?
I don't watch it.
A lot of people came after J.J. Watt after that one, saying he's a phony, he's a fake, and all that. But the reality is, that's who he is. He's after practice, he goes and does his work every day. It's not just because the cameras are there. That's what he does. But I thought it was good.
Why doesn't anyone work with him?
Good question. Sometimes they do. But Bill O'Brien came off as very. I like Bill O'Brien. I think Bill O'Brien's going to be a really good football coach. But boy, I'll tell you what, for a guy that curses, I was honored to listen to him.
Oh, does he curse a lot in the show?
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I've never watched it.
Yeah, it's good. And
with
then,
old JJ, I listened to a radio show about the JJ Watt thing, and they were kind of describing it, how he, I guess he works out practiced and went and worked out by himself, then
yucked
it up with the fans
for
and all
an
that stuff.
For an hour and a half.
For an hour and a half. So, Pete, you're telling me every day he signs an autograph for an hour,
I think
hour and a half?
One of the first days or something. You think he did it for the camera?
I don't know.
You think he's a phony?
I don't think that. I've never said that.
I don't know.
I've never said that. I like Herm Edwards. That's what I was heard. Herm Edwards said, you just got to be careful that you don't do this in a manner that shows up your teammates and makes it all about you. That's all he said.
See,
I'm not saying it's about JJ.
See, in my world.
And Herm brought it up. Herm made a good point.
In my world, it is always about me.
And I know. Herm Edwards brought another good point, and I stole it. He's like, if you're JJ and that's what you do, why aren't you getting the young players to come do it with you?
Maybe he asked them. They don't want to come.
Well, then you tell them to. You're JJ Watt.
Best defensive player in the league.
Yeah,
get him out there.
Now, with all I said, I'm not going to call the guy a phone. I didn't even watch the Hard Knocks.
Why don't you watch it? Why haven't you never watched it?
Number one, I don't have HBO.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know how I'm going to watch it.
You don't have HBO? Why?
No.
Well, so many good shows on. There's so many good shows on.
I don't want to pay for it.
You can buy minuscule. You can buy Apple TV and watch it somewhere. Can't it?
Right.
Yeah, but you have to pay for it.
Get them online somewhere. Can't
yeah,
you?
But you have to pay for it.
You're depriving your kids.
Come on.
Depriving my kids.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah,
like, but last
I
thing,
feel sorry
the
for
The last
kids.
Thing my teenage boys is on HBO.
No, it's Cinemax you want to keep them off.
Yeah. Whatever. My point is, they don't need to be watching it.
Look at Joe shaking his head.
Joe, you know a lot about that, don't
you? It's true.
Story. When I was younger in high school, I used to come, I'd go out and we'd be like 18, 19, 17, 18.
I don't want to know. Stop, Pete,
no.
Stop.
Where is this
home.
Going?
No, it's a good
stop,
story.
Pete.
We come home. My dad would always wait up for us, you know, because he was a worrywart.
Yeah.
And we always come home and he'd act like he was sleeping on the couch. And we go, you're not sleeping. You're watching Cinemax. Come on, Dad. Right? Look at Joe shaking
his head.
And
what was on?
Emmanuel, about 18,000 of them.
Emmanuel.
You know, anybody, Emmanuel. Come on, Dad, we know you.
Oh, gosh, so funny.
Why'd you know what I was talking about when I said that?
Anyone at our age. Oh, it's funny. That makes me laugh. I had not heard that for years, like 20. Oh.
We'll
I don't watch it because I don't have HBO. It's not interesting to me.
It is. Well, you lived it.
I'm not saying it's a great product and people love it, but there's no like.
See, I think every team eventually get to it and do it on their own.
But do you have any interest? Do you watch it, Pete?
Yeah, I love it. I would think every team would do it and put it on their website and whatever, do it.
Jaguars.com. Here we go.
Yeah.
Team website.
Eventually.
It's expensive.
I know.
Producer.
But you can make some money out of it. To figure out a way. NFL makes money on everything.
Fun first show, guys.
Loved it.
Awesome.
When are we back?
Maybe next week on Monday.
Are you here Monday again?
Yeah.
So you're here all preseason?
Yeah.
Awesome. Pete Prisco.
And then I'll be doing it on the line from Fort Lauderdale. You're going to get ripped.
Are we not doing the face-off anymore or whatever we do?
We'll get to that coming up. For Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco, Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. Jaguars Monday.
Pete's afraid of me.
We'll see you next week on Jaguars Radio.